Smelling of Roses by Simon Brett. Episode 4, Sleeping Partners.
Kate, good morning.
Hi.
You're not smoking. Does this mean you've finally recognised how much harm you've been doing to your body all these years and decided to breathe in the fresh morning air instead?
No, it means I've run out of money.
Oh. One more coffee?
This'll do me.
So, any other job prospects? How's the networking?
Not working.
Ah. I suppose you could get something temporary.
I can't pull pints behind a bar.
Why not?
I'm not Australian.
All right. I know you want to hold out till you get a job that's worthy of your qualifications, but we all have to compromise at some time in our lives. We have to put our dreams on hold and accept boring reality.
Are you suggesting that I get married?
No. Anyway, would you really want to be kept by some rich man?
Yes. I'd prefer that to being kept by you.
But I don't mind helping you over this difficult patch. What do you think mothers are for?
I've often wondered. I think Joe's often wondered too.
Mothers are there to supply their children's need when the world turns against them.
But they can't always do that. You can't get me a job, can you?
As a matter of fact, I can.
Really? Have you got any contacts who are major employers?
I am a major employer.
Oh, come on. I'm not going to do event management. My qualifications are in the world of global money markets.
There are times when I deal with the world of global money markets.
With Bob, the finance director? You've got to be kidding. He's about as adventurous as a hamster. As far as Bob's concerned, global begins at Brighton and stops at Hove.
Will you listen, Kate? I've got a client who runs an investment bank. Got a conference coming up here in Brighton. Wants me to help out on some of the planning. I could use some expert advice from someone who understands that world.
What's the company called? Probably some little two-bit setup. And if you think I'm going to get myself involved with a business like
John
that, then
Wilkinson.
John Wilkinson?
If I think you're going to get yourself involved with a business like that...
Then you're absolutely right.
Thought I might be. Just think of the networking possibilities, Kate.
I'm thinking of them. Sheila Wilkinson is a legend in the square mile. Have you met her?
Talked to her on the phone. Got a meeting at her office in the city tomorrow.
Oh, look, I've got to see her. Once she's met me, she won't be able to avoid offering me a job.
Why's that?
Because I'm very good.
Ah.
I'm really excited about this. Chong Wilkinson. I used to deal with him a lot when I was out in Kuala Lumpur.
Kate, it's good to see a sparkle of interest back in your eye. The last few weeks you've been so down, I've been quite worried about you. But now you've got something to bite on.
Yes.
You look transformed.
Yes.
You can start rebuilding yourself. You've even got the strength to stop smoking too, haven't you?
Possibly.
One day at a time. With each day it'll get easier and suddenly you'll realise that a whole year's gone past since you had a cigarette.
Yes, that'd be something, wouldn't it?
You can do it, Kate.
Yes, I can.
Morning.
Hello, love.
Joe, have you got a fag? I'm gasping for one.
So basically, while the main platform events are going on, I'd look to you to provide entertainment for the delegates' partners.
Because they'll all be down for the social side of the conference.
Exactly. There's a big gala dinner dance on the Saturday night. It's not just my employees, you see. I want their partners, too, to feel they're part of a caring, hands-on company.
That must make your staff feel really wanted.
It does. It also makes them feel really surprised when I sack them. If you ever hear anyone say the pleasure of power lies in not exercising it, they're talking rubbish.
But you have to be careful about that kind of stuff these days, don't you? Employment rights, equal opportunity in the workplace, political correctness.
You're right. I can't exercise my power in a way that might offend ethnic groups, religious minorities, the disabled, or those of different sexual orientation. But that still leaves one downtrodden group to whom I can behave exactly as I choose. Men.
Ah,
for centuries, men have had it all their own way in the workplace.
Yes, but to treat men as inferior human beings in some kind of feminist revenge for that would really be a rather unworthy form of point scoring, wouldn't it?
Of course it would be. Indefensible. But it's such fun. Do you know, I've got a male secretary who I get to make me coffee 4 times an hour.
Ah.
And when he bends across to put it on my desk, I smack his bottom.
In these egalitarian days, couldn't he have you up for sexual harassment?
I'd like to see anyone dare to have me up for anything. Would you?
Probably not. So, about these partners who I'll be entertaining,
Presumably they're not all women.
No way. Your female employees will be bringing their male partners. So will some of my male employees.
Yeah, of course, yes. I suppose in this day and age, very few of them coming will be traditional married couples.
Some will. I certainly will.
You? You're married?
Why shouldn't I be?
I'm sorry, it's just, after the things you were saying about men, I'm surprised you'd give one house room.
Philip is not a man. He's my husband.
Right.
Philip and I are very happily married.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Very refreshing these days that you and Philip feel the same about each other.
You think he'd dare to feel any differently?
No, no. So while you're busy working, he's a wonderful support to you in the background. Is he like Dennis Thatcher?
No, Philip's more like Dennis the Menace. No help at all.
Right, come on, the perfect daytime entertainment for a group of conference delegates' partners. What's it to be? You must all be full of bright ideas. Well, all right, let's start at a less optimistic level. Bob, have you got any ideas?
No.
Don't know why I bothered asking. Joe?
Well, it's got to be either a guided tour to a heritage site or a guided tour to a contemporary site.
What kind of contemporary site were you thinking of?
Somewhere like the Body Shop Factory.
The Body Shop?
Yes, you know, not tested on animals.
That seems rather pointless. Animals don't like guided tours, do they?
No.
Actually, it's always struck me that not tested on animals slogan is a bit of a two-edged sword.
In what way, Bob?
Well, say you go into the Body Shop and you buy your, I don't know, tuna and brie shampoo. And then you get home and you wash your hair, but by mistake you knock the bottle over and some of the shampoo spills onto your poodle. Well, you might kill it.
Look, could we concentrate? We are trying to arrange an outing. I think the heritage site sounds the best idea, Joe. Take them somewhere historic, see they get a good lunch at a local pub, bit more culture, and get them back to the hotel in time to dress for the dinner dance.
Yes. So where's it to be, then?
Spoilt for choice around here. Arundel Castle, Parham House, Up Park. Or we could go for the literary flavour. Charleston for the Bloomsbury set. Bateman's.
Bateman's?
Kipling.
Oh, where they make the cakes.
No, Tess, Rudyard Kipling, you know, if.
If what?
If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, I think that's the most depressing poem in the English language.
Why, Bob?
Because I never can.
Thanks for coming to meet me, Bob.
No problem.
We haven't really had a chance to talk since I've been back in England, have we?
No. Should we have?
Not particularly, no. It's just nice to get to know people, isn't it?
Yes. Is it?
And it's nice for me to know that there's at least one person in the world who loves my mother.
What? Kate, I don't know what you're talking about. Or who you're talking about. Certainly not me. How do you find out?
The fact that your eyes follow her around the room like a spaniel on heat.
But I'm male. A male can't be on heat, can it?
You can, Bob.
Oh, right. You haven't mentioned it to Rosie, have you?
No, of course I haven't. As far as I can tell, she's blissfully unaware of your devotion.
Thank goodness.
Why don't you say something to her?
Oh, I wouldn't dare.
Why? The worst thing she can say is no.
Yeah. Actually, she could say, God, no, you pathetic creep, you disgust me. What makes you think you have the right to be the same air as I do, you revolting slimebag?
Well, she could say that, but...
So I think it's probably better that I don't say anything at the moment.
Whatever. Anyway, it wasn't actually Rosie I wanted to talk to you about.
What was it, then?
In any event's finances.
In any event's finances? What makes you think I know anything about them?
You are the company's finance director.
Yes.
So you must know something about them.
Doesn't follow.
Anyway, I'm going to be helping Rosie out on a few projects.
Well, in any event.
Yes, and I just wanted to say, don't forget that I know about money.
Do you?
Yes, I haven't got any, but I do know about it. So, say you wanted to change the financial approach of In Any Event.
Change it? In what way?
Well, you know, make it a little more adventurous.
Adventurous?
Yes, you do know what that word means, don't you, Bob?
I know what it means, but it's never actually figured in my life.
Why not?
I'm an accountant.
I do not believe believe these people.
What's the problem, Tess?
It was that James Blunt from Chong Wilkinson again.
The one who rang last week because he and his girlfriend had split up?
Yes, and I had to change the hotel and the first-class rail reservation. The booking in the name of Reba Little had to be cancelled, and a reservation made for Leanne Knight. I've just arranged for the new rail tickets to be couriered to him, and he has the nerve to ring and say he's split up with Leanne and met this new girl called Dolly.
Just change the booking, Tess. Remember, the customer is always right.
I'll get it. Hello, in any event.
So, yes. Tess, James Blunt's new bedmate is called Dolly. Appropriate, really. Given his rate of turnover in girlfriends, it might be simply to have them cloned. What's her surname?
He hasn't found out yet.
Ah. But we've got everyone else's special demand sorted out, haven't we?
Yes. The Browns and the Jennings have adjacent suites with interconnecting doors, as requested. I can't think why.
Really, Tess? Your imagination's usually more efficient than that.
Oh.
And for Mr. Higgins and Mr. Trent...
Yes, the hotel have promised to put out his and his bathrobes.
Good.
Yes, all right. I'll sort it out. Goodbye, Mr. Fenton. That was the husband of the Chong Wilkinson head of human resources, just ensuring that their suite has a large supply of toweling nappies and plastic pants and plenty of baby oil.
I didn't know the Fentons had a baby.
They don't.
Amazing what the prospect of a weekend in Brighton does to people.
Hello, in any event. Oh, Mr. Blunt. What? Yes, I got that. Her name's Dolly. You were going to find out the surname. You want to change it again? You're bringing the girl who couriered the train tickets to you.
Oh, hi, you want coffee?
Please, and do we dare have a fag?
Only if we lean out of the window to smoke it.
I'll wait.
You're mellowing, Kate.
I am not mellowing. How dare you say that?
You are. You're being much more considerate of Rosie's feelings.
No, I'm not. I'm as selfish as I ever was.
It really upsets you, the idea that you might have any good qualities, doesn't it, Kate?
It doesn't. I just know what I'm like.
Anyway, it's good that you've agreed to help out at in any event.
Only on an ad hoc basis. It's not permanent.
Oh, of course not.
Does it worry you, the idea of working with your mother as well as your grandmother?
No. In a strange way, I find it rather comforting. And Rose is really pleased.
Oh?
Well, you have gone on and on about what a tin pot setup her company is. And the fact that you're agreeing to work for her, well, it must mean that you've changed your mind.
No, it doesn't. I'm only doing it because she's working with Chong Wilkinson.
Yes, but that could lead to other things.
It could.
A permanent job.
Oh, I hope so.
Rosie'd be so pleased to hear you say that. She'd love you to take a permanent job at in any event.
I didn't mean a permanent job with her tin pot set up. I meant a permanent job with Chong Wilkinson.
Ah.
See, Joe, don't you ever again dare accuse me of mellowing.
And this is my husband, Philip.
Great pleasure to meet you, Mr. Wilkinson.
And to meet you, Mrs. Burns.
Miss Burns, actually.
Well, isn't that interesting?
What?
That you should call yourself Miss. In the workplace these days, a lot of people try to avoid the stereotyping that might be given by their defining themselves as part of a married couple. And since the usage Miss never really caught on, I dare say the popularity of Miss is increasing.
Most people just call me Rosie.
Well, that's very interesting. Rosie is frequently a shortening of the female name Rosemary, though in some cases it can be a lengthening of the name Rose.
Yes, I know.
Though I suppose Rosamund or even Rosalind might be the original source of the abbreviation. I'm very, very interested in names.
Are you?
I find them very, very interesting.
Do you?
Yes, but darling, it wasn't about her name that you wanted to see Rosie, was it?
No, indeed it wasn't, darling. The matter which was causing me concern was the guided tour proposed for tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, yes, to Bateman's, Kipling's house. Should be very interesting.
I fear not.
Sorry?
Not for me.
What Philip's saying is that he's interested in many things.
Clearly.
But Kipling is not amongst them.
Ah, so are you suggesting we should set up a completely new outing for the staff's partners?
No, just for Philip. You'd like that, wouldn't you, darling?
I would indeed, darling.
No problem. Could be easily arranged. Have you by any chance any idea where you'd like to go, Mr. Wilkinson?
Well, this is interesting, Miss Burns, because in fact I do. I am very interested in, indeed, a great enthusiast of, model railways.
I'd never have guessed.
And I happen to know that there's a very interesting museum of model railways in Lewes, which I believe is not a million miles from Brighton, where we currently find ourselves.
No, that's true, it isn't.
Apparently. Their exhibits date back to the very beginnings of model railways. It's interesting to discover how soon after the invention of the real railway, models, I prefer to call them models than toys, of railway locomotives became current and popular.
Bob, I've got to get out. I've got to escape the most boring man in the world.
Oh, am I really that bad?
What? No, I didn't mean you. I'm talking about Sheila Wilkinson's husband. No wonder she's so successful in her business.
Why?
Anyone would work every hour of the day if Philip Wilkinson was what they had to go home to. Boring is absolutely the worst thing a man can be.
So what's the best thing a man can be?
Oh, I don't know. Witty, lively, adventurous. Oh, I must get out. I need some air. See you.
Adventurous. That word again.
All right, I'll do it. I'll take him on his private tour.
I can't thank you enough, Kate. Sheila Wilkinson's an important client, so just do anything to keep him sweet.
I'll be at my absolutely most charming.
I'm not sure I've ever seen that.
You haven't. I wouldn't waste it on you.
Thanks. I'm sorry it's got to be model railways.
Oh, don't worry. I've got 24 hours to read up on the subject.
Oh, I really wouldn't bother. Philip Wilkinson isn't the kind of conversationalist who needs input from anyone else.
I still think I might read a bit.
Well, that would be devotion beyond the call of duty.
No, this guy's married to Sheila Wilkinson. He must have some influence over her.
I suppose he must. Who knows? They say you can't look inside another marriage, don't they?
You can. I've looked inside plenty of marriages.
Really?
Why do you think I'm still single?
I quite like being in the office on my own. Rosie won't let me play Cliff Richard when she's here.
No, of course, you aren't actually in the office on your own, are you?
Yes, I am. Oh, you mean you're here?
Exactly. And I do have my own views about Cliff Richard.
Of course you do.
Wonderful, isn't he?
I bumped into Bob as I was coming to work this morning. He was wearing a tie.
He always wears a tie. He's very formal. Bob's idea of casual is having one of his suit buttons undone.
No, but it was the kind of tie he was wearing.
Oh?
Pink elephants on an electric blue background.
Bob!
Yes, Bob! I asked him what on earth he thought he looked like, and he said,
"There's nothing wrong with being a bit adventurous."
Blimey! Hello, in any event.
Joe, love, it's me. Just wanted to check. Kate's gone off to collect Philip Wilkinson.
Yes, she went down to his hotel. How's Bateman's going? All keen Kipling fans, are they?
It's all right so far, though I seem temporarily to have mislaid Mr. Fenton.
Perhaps he's using the baby-changing facility.
Entirely possible. Still, the bus journey over here was quite jolly. Somebody mentioned the Jungle Book, and James Blunt's girlfriend, Shania, insisted that it was written not by Rudyard Kipling, but by Walt Disney. Then, after a few choruses of the bare necessities, we had some rather filthy versions of the just-so stories.
Really?
Yes. When you're older, Joe, I'll tell you how the camel really got his hump.
Come in.
Mr. Wilkinson, I'm Kate Burns from In Any Event, Event Management.
Oh, yes, of course. It's very interesting you being called Kate, because, of course...
Because, of course, Kate was the name of the second wife of Ernest Bromage, first mass producer of die-cast models of the J series of locomotives that were introduced onto the Great Western Railways in 1904.
Yes. Do call me Philip.
Ah! Like the name of the fourth child of Gilbert Sylvester Murch, inventor of the transverse tender coupling hitch.
Yes. Well, it's not often that I meet someone as interested in model railways as I am. Is there anything else you're equally interested in?
Oh, lots of things. What about you?
Well, it's very, very interesting, this. Because the other thing that I'm very interested in is sex.
Oh, great.
Oh, I wish more days were like this.
Lull before the storm, Tess. If there's a crisis at the conference centre or at Bateman's, then we have to leap into action.
I think we'll be all right. Kevin always says a crisis only happens if you think it's going to.
Do you believe him?
Yes. Don't know why. He's never right about anything else.
Uh-oh, here we go. Hello, in any event.
It's me again.
Everything's still okay?
Starting to go mildly pear-shaped, I'm afraid. After a rather boozy lunch at the local pub, they've decided they've had enough culture for one day.
No more Kipling?
No, they're totally kippled out. Main reason they want to get back is that Mr. Higgins had a call on his mobile from Mr. Trent. The afternoon session of the conference has finished earlier, so all their partners are currently free. And Mr. Higgins is very keen to keep Mr. Trent away from the amusement arcades. Apparently, those motorbike simulators get him overexcited.
Right.
I was just ringing to put you on your guard. Sheila Wilkinson and her staff are all at large in Brighton, so be ready in case. Well, in case the fan should become soiled with waste matter.
I got you.
And on the subject of noxious substances hitting the fan, what is that music in the background?
Tess's choice.
Say no more. I must be off.
Oh, by the way, did you find that Mr. Fenton?
Baby Oil Fenton, yes. Apparently he'd just gone off shopping. Actually, he's the one who's keenest to get back to Brighton now he knows his wife's free for the afternoon.
Why's that?
Apparently he's bought them a changing mat.
Oh!
And after 1932 adjusted the gauge of their non-electrified rails to 1 9/16 of an inch, which meant that the former rolling stock needed fine adjustment to avoid derailment at high speeds. The next calibration change occurred. Philip, do you really enjoy me reading this stuff while I do that to you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And do we really need the tape of train sounds?
Oh, yes.
All right, please yourself. Then the next calibration change occurred in 1934 when the bogey alignment on post-1932 models was found to be in somewhat...
Philip, what the hell do you think you're doing?
Well, honestly, Kate...
You told me to do anything to keep him sweet, didn't she, Tess?
Certainly did.
Yes, but I'm running an events management company here, not an escort agency.
Not that much difference.
There is.
Not when there's a conference involved. The only purpose of conferences is to facilitate illicit sex.
But not with a managing director's husband.
Philip Wilkinson had no complaints.
No, but I bet Sheila Wilkinson did. How did she leave it with you?
She shoved my clothes into my arms and pushed me out into the corridor. She said she'd talk to her husband first and then she'd be down here to talk to me and you.
Oh, dear. In that case, I think you better go, Tess.
Oh, just when it's getting to the interesting bit.
Now, go on. I'm sure Kevin has something in mind for your Saturday evening.
Yes, which reminds me. I must pick up some maple syrup.
Maple syrup? Oh, yes, of course. You put that on pancakes, don't you?
Well, you can. Bye.
I would like to say, now we're alone, Kate, that I'm extremely angry with you.
Oh.
And don't make that noise.
What noise?
The same noise you've made for the last 35 years whenever I say I'm angry with you. At the age of 4, you were doing exactly the same thing.
Well, not exactly the same. I wasn't consorting with model railway enthusiasts.
Well, you were, actually. Don't you remember Robert, the little boy next door?
Oh, yes. He had a Hornby Dublo.
You're not going to get round me, Kate. This is serious because it involves my business and I... Hello?
This is Sheila Wilkinson.
Hold on to your hats. Do come in, Sheila.
And to keep a marriage going for over 15 years, both partners have really to work at it.
I know, I'm terribly sorry.
Marriage is about trust and caring for each other and trying to make each other happy.
Yes, yes, but the thing is...
And then some other woman bursts in from nowhere and the whole situation changes, doesn't it, Kate?
Yes, I guess it does.
That woman comes in using her sexuality like a blunt instrument and clobbers my husband over the head with it. And you know what I'd like to say to the woman who has the nerve to do that?
No.
No.
I'd like to say, well done, Kate. I like your style.
What?
What?
And I was wondering, Kate, might you be interested in some kind of permanent job? Ho, hope you didn't mind meeting here, but I've got to go through to the dinner dance in a moment.
No problem.
And we really couldn't talk detailed terms about your employment with Rosie there.
I haven't got a CV with me, but I specialise in emerging markets. My most recent job was in Kuala Lumpur.
I'm not bothered about CVs and things like that. I work on instinct. I see someone who's right for a job, I appoint them. I've been looking for someone like you for a long time.
I won't let you down.
I'm sure you won't. Your remuneration will be very generous. Generous enough to pay for your discretion and confidentiality.
And the terms of the...
Well, we'll start with 2 afternoons a week and see how we go from there.
2 afternoons? Doesn't sound like very hard work.
Believe me, you'll earn every penny.
And where will I be working? At your main office?
Good heavens, no. I'll buy Philip a little flat somewhere. Space for his library of books and for his model railway layouts and sound system. And you could visit him on, say, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Are you offering me a job as your husband's mistress?
Yes, of course I am. What else did you think I was talking about?
Well...
Now, is there anything else you want to ask me about the appointment?
There is, yes.
What?
Does it have a pension scheme at all?
Are you telling me you accepted it?
No, of course I didn't.
Thank goodness. I knew I'd brought you up with some moral standards.
Nothing to do with moral standards. The pension scheme was lousy.
Well, at least you didn't...
Good evening. I thought I might find you here.
Bob.
Rosie. Rosie. Rosie, Rosie, Rosie. Well, hello, Kate.
Hi.
What on earth have you got round your neck?
It's a tie.
It looks like a 60s album cover.
I've decided I need to be a bit more adventurous in my dress.
You're going to wear a dress?
No, no, no. In the future, Rosie, you're going to see a new me.
Oh, pity. I was quite fond of the old you.
Were you? Were you really?
Go on, Bob. You'll never get a better cue than that.
Cue? What on earth are you talking about?
Right. I should seize my moment. I should take the horn by the balls.
I beg your pardon.
Rosie? There's something I want to say to you.
Good for you. Say it, Bob.
Yeah.
Well, come on.
What I wanted to say was... Rosie? I'll see you in the office on Monday.
Oh, Bob.
And now, if you'll excuse me, I must go.
Where are you going?
I am going, Rosie, have an adventure. Because that's the kind of person I am. I'm a very adventurous person, you know.
Poor old Bob. You know what he needs?
No.
He needs the love of a good woman.
Yes, Rosie. Do you know any?
Nope.
Smelling of Roses starred Prunella Scales as Rosie, Arabella Weir as Kate, Rebecca Callard as Jo, Duncan Preston as Bob, and Annette Badland as Tess, with Debbie Norman as Sheila Wilkinson and Alan Cowan as Philip Wilkinson. Smelling of Roses was written by Simon Brett and produced by Maria Esposito.